Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the goings-on in Mac for the entire week, all of the Apple stuff that's happened. And joining me, I've got a fantastic panel, and I've got to say, we're honoured. This is you're looking at a man who has sat and looked at a package from Apple for how long?
About 8 hours.
You've sat and looked at a package for 8 hours and not opened it?
Yeah, it was next to me while I was working here at home.
For 8 hours and not opened it, just so that you could save it for this very show.
Exactly.
I cannot, there is nothing that you could do that would not make me salute that kind of restraint, mate. I mean, that is right up there. You are Pope Nicholas II.
Nah, not really. It's just an Apple Watch. I mean, I knew what I was getting, so it wasn't that.
Okay, so we'll come back to Patrice in a minute. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I can do
I'm kidding. No. Go on, open the sodding package, man.
Okay.
A live unboxing on air. Make sure it's in shot, though, eh? Oh, listen to that sound. It's the sound that does it.
It's, by the way, it's a Apple Watch Series 2.
Completely different box from the first one.
Because
you got that, that first box, you got the lovely, I had a stainless steel one, which was like a proper watch box.
It doesn't have the same opener thing for the shrink wrap that the iPhone has. So I'm just going to rip it.
You're going to have to
rip it good.
Dig into it.
Yeah. Oh no, he seems to. That looks, he has very sharp fingernails.
It's a long, thin thing.
Yeah, why is it?
And I'm not talking about Patrice at this point.
Not that thin.
Okay, and look inside. Look inside. Here we go. Oh, it's got an insert like the pen.
Oh, they've sent him a pencil
like the phone.
They've sent you a pencil by mistake.
It's Slender Man. Run.
So that's the Apple Watch.
Oh, I got Jesus, dude! Why did you buy a blue one?
Because I like the band. I don't know whether I will send it back because I got it in rose gold and I don't know whether I will like it. But my phone is rose gold, so we'll try.
Right.
But I wanted to have the blue band.
That may be a bit too coordinated not to kind of throw the gay tag.
I may be a bit disappointed. Hey, Ewan, when you got your stainless steel watch, did it come in that cool square box with the belt liner?
Yeah, so my box was a square box that was beautiful, and you opened it up and it was like like you bought a tag. It was
they freaking cheaped out. Screw you, Apple.
Here we go. Hang on. Did you buy a steel then, Lee?
No, this is last year's. So this is, you know what Adam was just saying about the box? I've got a sport. I'm keeping my original one. But this is the box that came with mine last year, which, as Adam was saying, is gone now.
So that's a hard plastic box?
Yeah, it's a proper watch. It's hard plastic, and then you've got the inside, so it looks like what they've done now is they've basically cheaped out and taken this away.
The stainless steel one had that nice white box with the gray felt inside.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Displayed beautifully.
$200 extra.
And that's what I was expecting to get.
You can spend money on the box.
No. But even so, Doc, you've gone from last year with the sports coming in a preformed
plastic
box to a cardboard box.
I want to clarify what I'm upset about. The sport was cheap, right? The sport's a cheaper box, so it came in a cheaper sort of packaging.
Cheaper,
but this,
you did qualify.
Yeah, cheaper.
Cheaper.
It wasn't cheap, but the stainless came in this nice white box, and I didn't get the stainless last year, and so I was looking forward to getting that box and that presentation, and now seeing this, I'm totally disappointed.
You're going to cancel your order when UPS is at the door.
It's the same thing. You guys probably, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, but the freaking ear pods came in a freaking piece of cardboard.
Yeah. I forgot that. Yeah. That's I posted it on Twitter and someone said straight away, hey, where's my carrying case gone? I was like, hang on, yeah, that's a good point, actually. I used to use it as a carrying case.
Who the hell uses that carrying case? I got 20 of them.
Nobody, but here's the thing. Apple has always been about the high-end presentation of that stuff and getting it, having gotten it in that nice little case in the past with the white Apple logo on the back, nicely wrapped up and packaged. Versus getting this little piece of cardboard thing, it does detract from that overall unboxing experience, and that has always been part of buying Apple products. So I'm a little bit disappointed that we're starting to see this move toward cheaper. And it may be, you know, Apple probably, if we go email Apple PR, my guess is the standard response is going to be it's about the environmental issues.
Guaranteed. Yeah, it's easier to recycle, isn't it? That'll be what they'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I mean they've been attacked.
And size of packaging.
Greenpeace and all these tree hugging flukes never had any press. Then they started picking on Apple, and all of a sudden they became top of the food chain. And so now Apple does what they ask,
and we say, "Oh, the box is cheap." Yeah, well, I wanted that nice felt-lined box, and that they still have that for the ceramic for the edition one. I saw an edition unboxing that still uses that box.
I gotta say, right, I have contaminated everyone with my negativity. Clearly, this show, this used to be a celebration of Apple, and now I've even got to Adam Christensen, Dart Rock, and Patrice, where they go, "What the fudge has gone on here?"
Well, I'm just mad because I was mad when I last year when I got the Sport and I didn't get that nice box, and then I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to get it this year." I ordered the steel, you know, the stainless. Yeah. Nope.
I am so happy I've got you lot to swallow the blue pill. No question.
By the way, I mean, compared to the box last year, this one is way nicer. I mean, it's bigger. It feels sturdier than the plastic.
But you haven't got the plastic tube.
I'm happy with some cardboard, said Patrice.
Wait, Patrice is there trying to, look at him.
Do you want to buy a watch, Gov?
So I put just both next to each other to
Is that an aluminum one or is it a stainless one? Aluminum.
Both of them.
Oh, okay. So maybe I'm still okay.
No, you're German. It's still aluminium.
I jumped to conclusions. That does seem like a nicer box for the aluminum.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what this steel one comes in.
There's still hope for me.
Oh, red.
Well, hopefully we can see the disappointment on the show if it gets delivered.
Red pill or blue pill? There we go.
Just have to do a close up on Adam's face if it gets. Yeah.
I really think both Patrice and Adam should have to carry around their Apple Watch boxes everywhere they go just to show their brand loyalty from this point forward. Just lock it.
Yeah, stop wearing the watch. Wear the box.
Wear the box like a cat.
Get a zip tie and put the box on your wrist. It doesn't matter if it doesn't tell time, but it'll show your loyalty.
On your wrist? On your head?
You guys are aware we're still doing intros, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. I've got my box.
Is it arrived?
No. This is last year's.
Oh, okay, right. Adam, how you doing,
exactly,
mate?
Like last year's.
I'm doing good.
You dipped out last week because you're a proper journalist now, aren't you?
Jumping to conclusions and calling out Apple on things before I have all the facts.
I'm surprised, mate, because you dipped out on us last week.
Yeah, I had a thing. I had a work thing.
You had a work thing, right? Got you. It wasn't to do with the fact that you've been on the BBC and you're worried about your reputation.
No. That wasn't it.
Excellent, mate. Glad to have you back. Next to him, it's Lee. Hello, mate.
Hiya. Good to be back on.
Good, mate. So what have you ordered?
I've not ordered a watch, but I've got the new phone.
Have you got it?
Yeah.
And did it come in a nice spangly plastic box or usual rubbish cardboard?
Nice cardboard one. But I managed to get the jet black one, which is good.
Now, the only question that I've got on my lips, and this is for you and Patrice, obviously, is what was the ejection tool for the slim slot like? Was it a curled up piece of safety clip, or was it Schwingerding liquid metal?
It was a liquid metal for me.
Yeah, it was.
Wait a minute.
Awesome.
You know, here in the States, we don't get that.
Why?
I've never seen a SIM ejector tool in my packaging.
Here we go. There's Doc's a bit further one. Back, dude, because you're in focus, yeah. And it's not. And that's press steel, mate. That's not the Schwingerding liquid metal job.
This is the one that I've had ever since working in the jeans bar. It used to be on my name tag, and I took it off. But you know what? It works when you stick it in the thing.
But you guys are saying you got that out of the iPhone 7 box.
No, my iPhone 7 box is still at AT&T.
I can check mine now.
Yeah, Doc's not getting this till after I've got mine.
Yeah, they don't include a SIM ejector tool at all anymore.
This was in the 6 Plus.
Mike Rose, hello, mate. Welcome to us.
Oh, thank you. I'm holding up a tiny piece of aluminium.
Okay, so that is the bent paperclip.
Yes. Yeah,
basically. Yeah, that's sugar.
Okay, I got the one from the iPhone.
Yeah, it's got a new little sleeve in it, and there's nothing in there but some Apple stickers and a one sheet thing and a license thing.
Oh my God.
Hey, Ewan.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, but it's not magnetical.
It's not liquid metal.
No, but I'm saying if it's pressed steel, how come my magnets ain't doing crap to it? It must be aluminium.
Must be.
Dog
gets bonus points for saying aluminium. Well done, mate. How the devil are you, Dot Rock?
I'm good.
You are up. Are you still up to your eyes in blue shit? Are you part of the Goa'uld now?
No, I'm done with that. Nice. But I have a brand new stack of crap I got to get through today. And I swear, I've been getting up at 4:30 every day this week trying to get this job done.
Thank you for your time, mate. Do appreciate it.
Making my head hurt.
And last but by no means least, Mike T. Rose in the Max Headroom room.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
When
his
video freezes later because he's on line 5, which is the crappiest machine we've got, it will be Max Headroom. How you been, mate? Long time no see.
It's great to be here. I missed I got caught up in a thing last time and couldn't make it, but thank you very much, guys, for inviting me. Always glad to be here.
Always have you on, mate. Always have you on. We've had some feedback from people, and we've had some commentary from various people coming in.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
First thing is Mark Sisson sent in, and he said he's tried Siri on Mac OS X Sierra. This is on a mid-2010 MacBook Pro, no young chicken, built-in microphone and Western Prairies Canadian accent. That would be useless, he says. That's not nice, says Siri. Yes, but it's true, he says. True dat. Siri. I'd send it with a British male voice, but I'm not sure if true dat is an appropriate response for a Brit either. I'm getting nearly perfect interpretation of what I say using the built-in microphone of this old Apple laptop, which I wish I could manually resize the Siri window ever because it's a bit of a pain. Sorry, Mark, I'll try harder. You wish you could try harder, says Mark. You're certainly entitled to that opinion, Mark. You're pretty snooty. I'm just well put together, says Siri. Do you run on Mac? Sorry, I can't help you with that. Is that a secret? Interesting question, Mark, says Siri. I noticed, Mark, question mark. Did you get that? Question mark. Interesting question mark. I noticed that when I ask you a question, you don't add A to the end of it. Who, me? Says Siri. You seem to know what is, but you don't put A on the end of my responses. Is that so? Says Siri. Yeah, you don't notice. That's what I thought, said Siri. And we've had a comment from Greg, which is brilliant. And he's talking about René Ritchie, because I gave René Ritchie a bit of shit on the last show. Nothing more than he deserves, however. Apparently, the unit that he got that I complained about last week was actually a review unit. And he's put down, my iPhone Plus was originally due on September the 23rd. Then I was told it was September the 23rd to the 4th of October, but it's on a truck out for delivery now. Time travel is funny. So René Ritchie has been bent over and fudged by Apple up the rear end, and he still puts a positive spin on it. Well done, René. Well done, mate.
Yeah.
How are we all getting on with OS X Sierra and 3 OS for watch and 10 for phone? I've had some issues, I have to say. The typing on Sierra's been a bit glitchy, but everything else has worked just fine. All the drivers have come back, all the software's worked just fine. I've had no updates apart from iWork. With the phone, I had a very interesting one on Monday night with the phone. It said, you're down to 19%. I'm awfully sorry. You're going to have to put us on a charger. I shoved it into a charger, and it went woomph straight away to 60%. And when I took the plug out at the end of it, it stayed at 60%. There was 60% charge there. So the battery meter is not recording the correct battery level, it would seem. That. And the watch has died twice, and I've had to restart it. And last night it died so far that I had to completely set it up as a brand new watch entirely. So,
well, okay.
It was pretty bad. Anyone else? Yeah. Has it all gone smoothly, or has it all gone horribly?
See,
Go ahead, Patrice.
I wasn't going to say.
No, I was going to say with me, iOS 10 has been good. Watch OS 3 has been, I've had to restart it a few times, especially when using the workout app. It's hung on me. The main one for me was Sierra putting that on my, I've got 5K iMac, which is, I've only had about two months. And it was running out of system memory all the time. And I found out in the background it was doing the new Photos face recognition stuff. But it was pegging the CPU up to about 150%. So it was just unusable for maybe 4 or 5 hours whilst it was updating. But other than that, it's been okay for me. I can't say I'm using that many of the new kind of features of Sierra. You know, I've not really used Siri or anything, but...
No, writers have a lot of problems on that. I mean, the thing that's interesting, speaking as the photographer on the show, I don't store any photos on Photos. Because the last thing I want to do, if you're a photographer, is put photos in the Photos app. Because you know, apart from the fact that it does what you're suggesting there, Apple's history of looking after your photos is pretty shit. So
I use iCloud Photo Library, but you're right. If I go away for a few days with my DSLR, and I'll just instinctively just upload them. It can take weeks for my internet connection to load stuff up because, as you imagine, they're all RAWs. I really need to do stuff before I put them in Photos. But for me, it's just a habit. I just put the memory card in and just whack them in and they eventually get up there. But I pay for cloud storage, so it's not really a big problem. But yeah, other than that, it's been okay for me. I like iOS 10. Actually, it's probably my favorite update out of all of them.
Mike, you were going to say something there.
I was just going to say, I am holding off on iOS 10 for my iPhone because I have one of the third-party peripherals. We were talking, I think, before the show started about Sierra versus the ScanSnap scanners. So that's one thing I have that I can't upgrade to OS 10 Sierra without the risk of completely gacking every PDF I've ever scanned. And Adam was mentioning that. But the other thing is that I have a Kibo smart lock, and that's another thing that is not compatible with the latest round of OS updates. iOS 10 has, according to Quickset, has a bug that prevents Bluetooth peripheral mode from working when the app in question is in the background. So the way that smart lock app works is it's looking for a Bluetooth ping and responding with the key, and you have to have the app open on your screen if you're running iOS 10, which you normally don't have to do.
I have a SlugSense right there. Wait, Patrice, correct my German. Schlage, whatever the heck it is.
Schlager.
But
Schlager.
The Schlager got so much better after iOS 10 and HomeKit and all of that. And my boy next door has the Kibo. And then so you're right. The Kibo doesn't work, but don't blame Apple Kibo, you lying sacks, because the Schlag is like, boom, it's faster, it's smoother. I can open and close my lock when I'm on the toilet. So when the UPS man says, hey, I got something for you, I'm like, I'm in my house right now having lunch. Hold on. I open the door, and then he drops it in, and then he walks out, and I go, lock the door. It works flawless. Don't let Kibo lie to you.
And what are you saying, Trish? I think that issue was introduced in one of the later betas, because up until I think the last beta, my lock was working fine and then it stopped. So some Apple screwed something up there.
You guys have heard all you guys with the locks, right?
Huh?
All you guys with the locks have heard about the analog hole, right?
Yeah.
The key? Yeah.
No.
Which end?
Run up to a person's door, and if they have a device in their house that has, you know, always on Siri.
Yeah.
Hey Siri, unlock the door.
I don't do voice unlock for that very reason.
But I don't have any devices in.
Hold on, Adam, explain that, because I use Siri to unlock the door because I'm lazy and it works flawlessly. What are you trying to say?
Right. Yeah, so if your phone is in your house or your iPad or whatever is in your house, someone can walk up to your front door, and if they yell loud enough.
Yep.
Siri can pick it up and unlock the door for them.
Well, I live on the 16th floor, so
you're probably okay, but get to your door. Somebody has tested this. And frankly, with the new Hey Siri training, it that should be minimized as well, you know, with the voice. Well,
see, the other thing training, is I would really love someone to do that, being ex-military special forces. You roll up to my house after you hate Siri, bro, you're going to need a different ending than the kid's joke. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going live on the internet. Please come to my house and yell hate Siri and roll your ass in there. Especially if I'm watching the game and Manchester is losing. I will beat the skin off your ass.
They should jump off your roof, Doc, and then just yell as they're going past your balcony, "Hey Siri, open Doc Store."
The main people this is ending up being an issue for is people who don't have a fourth generation Apple TV and are using the new feature in iOS 10 where you can set up your iPad, you know, like your old iPad in your living room as like an extra, you know, gateway.
Yeah.
So it's a minor thing, but it's something that made me chuckle. Like that they could like criminal rolling up outside someone's house and just yelling "Hey Siri" like through the window.
I remember a while back, this is gone away to some extent, but maybe about a year and a half ago, we had this thing where Adam and myself and you and we were just doing a "Hey Siri" clowning around on the show. And I remember
we've lost so many listeners in the last 5 minutes.
I had the back catalog running one day. I was in the bathroom. I was cleaning the tub. And that show came on, and all of a sudden it started doing that, and my iPad started waiting out, and then my phone started waiting out because I was listening using the Apple TV, and it was just the most funny thing. And I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Have you guys noticed that if you have multiple devices that have Hey Siri activated, that only one of them will respond?
Yeah, it seems to have gotten better. Yeah,
yeah, it's really great.
Siri in general is better. I've noticed because I use Siri a lot in the car, and she's much more responsive and gets things correct more frequently. The only weird thing that I've had with the new iPhone 7, and I think there may be a second microphone now, maybe also behind the earpiece, because I've noticed. One thing I used to do would be put my phone in my shirt pocket upside down with like the speaker mic part sticking up, and I could use Hey Siri in that mode. But I can't with the iPhone 7 now for some reason. And if I take it out of my pocket, it works flawlessly. So I'm guessing there's maybe some noise canceling technology in there that is getting covered up when I put the phone in my pocket.
I downloaded Sierra this week and put it on the main Mac Pro that's behind this computer, and it worked beautifully. I've not had any problem apart from a typing issue. And then I started playing around with Siri, and I was like, Siri, close this application. He went, "I'm sorry, I can't help you with that." And then I said, "Siri, shut down the computer." He went, "I'm sorry, I can't help you with that." And I thought to myself, that's really cool, because actually you get loads of people going, "Hey Siri, shut down the computer," and it would be a pain in the arse. But actually, there's no "Hey Siri" anyway on Sierra, so why have they done that? Surely it would be logical to allow that to happen because there's no "Hey Siri."
Well,
if you had "Hey Siri," you'd want to block that because you wouldn't want people like twats like me on a podcast going, "Hey Siri, shut down the computer," and it going,
in an office.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you haven't got that, why would you then stop it? Because if I click and go, "Hey Siri, shut down the computer," surely I have to click in order for that to happen. So that would be okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if you could couple it in with the voice commands that are already built in to OS X and have been for years.
You can't close down any applications, and you can't shut the computer down using Siri on Sierra.
That we
that's
know,
not,
right?
It's not that surprising. That's not all that surprising. I mean, it would be great if you could. To the point there, if you could access the Apple script-based automation, like the voice commands, but you could never do those things with those voice commands either, because anything that's potentially destructive, shutting down the computer, quitting an application, if for whatever reason it doesn't save state or it doesn't prompt you to save open documents, there are other ways around that from an automation perspective if you have to do it, but I can understand why Apple would not want from a user experience point of view to enable that.
If you didn't have click, I would totally understand it, but if you had click to action, that seems less logical.
Unless you fat tongue something and you meant to say, you know, that was a weird Freudian slip. I meant to say, open Adobe Illustrator, but I actually said shut down everything without saving. Weird. I don't know how that happened.
I've never heard the phrase fat tongue before.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Fat tongue is a Freudian slip.
No, fat tongue is the equivalent of fat fingered, like if you're typing it and mistyped the command, so you fat tongue. That maybe is not going to catch
on. In that case, I know a few fat tongue people. Most of them come on our shows. We've had an interesting question that came in from Brett Ladin. Thank you very much, Brett. He's the guy that I reviewed his iPhone 5 images 2.5 years too late, if you remember. Brett said, and he's titled this the iPhone 7 camera lie, L-I-E. Hi, Ewan. I'm writing because I did a camera test on two iPhone 7 Pluses, and it seems that the photo mode, that you can only use the wide-angle lens. I put my finger over one lens and toggle between 1x and 2x without either image being blocked by my finger. Then did the same on the second lens and both the 1 and the 2 were blocked. I also tried the time-lapse and slow-mo modes. The lens switches for these modes but not in photo mode. If you get the 7 Plus, please try it for yourself. I want to know if I'm right or I'm just plain nuts. Thanks, Brett.
There is something that one of the major features of the 7 Plus photos is not out yet, and they stated it in somewhere, but it's supposed to be that there's going to be a software update that completely fixes that. And it's not that it's a bug. It's that that second portion, that was that Lytro camera feature type thing, wasn't all the way baked when they shipped the phone. Yeah. So it's supposed to come out and
I'm not sure that's what you're saying.
I can offer a different thing, because what I've heard, according to people who have looked into the software, is that actually something Apple didn't mention is that it does some processing between both cameras. So it actually takes pictures with both cameras and then does some processing to figure out which one is better or just filling in things that are missing in one picture or not as clear. So like a light HDR mode, basically. So that could also be that it basically detected, hey, on one lens there is nothing, so let's use the other one.
Wait. So say the thing again, because I probably have some insight on this from something that a review that I read.
Are you talking about me reading the question, or?
Just clear. So he's talking about the fact that could be in 2x.
I put my finger over one lens and toggled between the 1x and 2x without either image being blocked by my finger. Then I did the same on the second lens. Both 1 and 2 were blocked.
Yep. I know what this is.
Okay, go for it.
So there is instances where even with... So Apple has something in software where even with the 2X, it may or may not decide, depending upon what the situation is of the shot that you're taking, it may or may not decide to use the telephoto lens.
And I think
part of the genesis is the wide angle is a 1.8 aperture and the telephoto is still like a 2, if I'm remembering that right. So it has to do, I think, somewhat with light of your shot. So in some instances, it does the 2X with the cropping, still using the wide angle lens.
I can show it.
Well, the other thing that I'm thinking of, too, is when you're looking at the live view portion, say, on the lens, per se, and he didn't specify whether he was just looking, sort of TTL, or whether he actually took the photos. I don't know if I gathered that from what was said, but there's supposed to be some 150,000 calculations that go on. So maybe what you see, sort of fake TTL is not legit until you literally press the button and the operations happen. And then it would
make sense. No, I don't think that's it.
That they're taking with the two different images and then doing some compilation in order to give you an epic pic.
What Adam said is right, because I just tried it. If you have something really close, it will not switch. But then I turned around and suddenly it switched to the other camera while I didn't change the zoom mode. So it's actually what Adam said.
Yeah,
the software is analyzing the shot and picking the best lens based on its algorithm. The reality is, though, because Apple has opened up the camera APIs for all that stuff, if you get a better photo app, like a third-party photo app that gives you manual controls, you should be able to fully control that. So if you want to override what the software is doing, you can.
Yeah. No, my understanding from what I read was that it was based on light. So if it's low light image, right, it stays away from the telephoto lens and automatically uses the wide angle. So covering the lens would mean that it was getting less light.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. As I said, I can show it. So now it is on the wide angle. No, on the normal one.
Just hang a sec.
If I turn around, it should switch at some point. I can see it really.
It's gone blank red at the moment.
Yeah, and that's where my finger is.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I didn't change the settings. So it is, and I think light might not be it, but it's really the distance.
Patrice's semi-transparent finger.
Yeah. From what I've understood is it's a combination. We don't know what the magic formula is, but it's basically, like Doc said, it's doing those, you know, billions of calculations. It's looking at everything in the image, you know, light, distance, all these things, and it's choosing what it feels is the best lens for that particular situation at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? One thing that I find that's kind of cool about this, Jerome got his phone in and he was playing with it the other day, and he was showing me that Camera Plus or Big Camera, one of the other cool third-party apps, is actually already taking care of some of the features that I was going to run on a regular camera app, but it's already functioning. So Lee mentioned in the chat that like bokeh and portrait mode is one of the things that's going to come in the update mid-October, but it kind of works in one of the other third-party apps. And I want to say it's Camera Plus because they're always one of the best apps. So if you want to try some of the features that, you know, you may not have right away, try one of the more popular third-party apps that might function already.
I haven't been that impressed with Camera Plus recently. Like, I don't even know that they're... Are they supporting even RAW yet? I don't think they are.
I can tell you in 2 seconds. I love Camera Plus. It's awesome.
Yeah, I found Pro Camera recently. I think it's better.
Said. Sorry, Adam. You're right.
So we had a couple of questions as well via email, and the first one was what was about RAW, and they said that we were going on about the fact that it's not RAW, it's DNG. What's the difference? Well, all RAW supposedly is RAW data from the sensor, but all RAW is compressed. So if you look at Nikon do a RAW 8 and a RAW 12, which is 8-bit compression and 12-bit compression, but they are both compressed. So every camera RAW that you get is not really RAW anyway. DNG is far more heavily compressed than all of those. It will allow you to change scales within the image that you would get with RAW normally, but it's massively compressed in comparison to camera RAW that you get from the manufacturer. So DNG is hugely compressed as a thing, and I would guess that the reason that Apple have gone for that is because of file storage space within the phone itself. So,
and Ewan, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, my basic understanding of it for like laymen's who don't, it doesn't really, like myself, who it doesn't really matter too much, is you have RAW is just referencing the RAW, like you said, the RAW data from the sensor. It's exactly what, you know, the low level stuff coming from the sensor is captured. But then each camera manufacturer or company uses a different sort of file format wrapper on that RAW data. And in, like you're mentioning, compression is part of that, right?
Yeah, so...
But it also impacts the metadata. Like, there's all that stuff is wrapped up in some sort of file format. And DNG is Adobe's. Every other camera companies have their own. So there's, like, a bunch of different sort of wrappers on that RAW data.
So RAW is allegedly the RAW data from the sensor, but it's not. It is wrapped up in, so if Canon will do CR2, I think Nikon do NEF, is it, or something like that?
Yep, that's right.
And Adobe have got this file format, which they've given free to the world, which is DNG. And everyone goes, oh, well, that's even better to use. I'll convert everything to DNG because it'll be free forever. No, it won't. It'll be free until Adobe decide to be bastards about it. And if they want to be utopian and keep DNG out there, then yes, it'll be fine, but they've only given it free for now. So your next upgrade could mean that DNG stops working. You know, so converting all of your images to DNG is not necessarily future-proofing them or anything like that.
Is there a more open RAW image format than DNG, though?
Not that I'm aware of. DNG is as good as it gets as far as openness
goes. The point is that that's the closest thing to an open one that we have, because Nikon's is totally proprietary. Canon's is totally proprietary. I'm sure Fujitsu have its own.
There's a lesson from something that happened to me probably 10 plus years ago. I was out in the field and the customer said to me, shoot, shoot, and shoot, but when you finish today, can I have a copy of all of the images? Yeah, no, no, no worries at all. And I was shooting under light, so I knew what I was shooting was right anyway, and I didn't shoot in JPEG, I shot in RAW. And I thought I should have shot in JPEG because I knew the lights was controllable for me. And I looked at the images and I was like, oh, what an idiot. I forgot to turn off the camera from CR2 into JPEG. Tried to open it on the laptop and it said, no, you haven't got the latest version on.
Right.
Bugger. Okay, correct. Well, that's okay. So I've got a MiFi. I'll put it on the MiFi and the MiFi will download the software from Canon. Couldn't get anything from Canon. So I rang up Canon and I said, please, can I have... And they said, no, you can't. And I said, but I'm on the field. I've got the camera. I'll read you the serial number. Give me a link so I can download the file. They said, we can't do that. There's nothing we can physically do because you've got to have the original disc that came with the camera or you can't download the CR2 files.
Yep.
Yep.
I've had that happen with Canon before and I was so bummed.
You bastards. So
you know what's funny, Ewan, is I went looking for the disc and no, I couldn't find it, and none of my friends who had the same camera could find theirs. So I ended up looking on a forum somewhere where you're not supposed to download things to find it. But I was worried, what if it's poisoned? Like, what if somebody, you know, put like a UU encode file or something smacked up on there? So it's the dumbest concept ever. So you can't download it from the web.
What did I do, chaps?
Pirated it.
I used Preview. Because Preview opened the files just fine, and then it saved them out as JPEGs.
Yep.
Preview is the most powerful application you've got in any operating system.
Underappreciated.
Easy, vastly underappreciated. No question.
That's because Apple works with those manufacturers to build in all those raw formats.
Superb. Absolutely great application. I hope we've answered your question there, Brett. That solves the issue. In terms of RAW, the other question that we got was about you, and you kept hammering on about Bokeh. So, I'm waiting for even more emails. Depth of field is depth of field. Bokeh is Bokeh. They are two separate things. What Phil Schiller said on stage was complete bollocks. Okay, so if you look at the depth of field of an image, that is how deep the focus goes, and that depends on whether you're shooting in 1.8 or f1.8 or f11 or f8 or something like that, or you've got an infinite focus because of the distance that you're shooting at f8, hyperfocal length, but an image which has infinite depth of field, so let's say you go out into space and you shoot from the space station, you've got infinite depth of field. That infinite depth of field can still have Bokeh. Completely different thing. So when you roll the barrel on the lens and you deliberately make the image out of focus, the pattern that you get when you're out of focus, that is Bokeh, not depth of field. Depth of field is something entirely different. So and Phil may be right, because what he's saying is what we're doing is cutting the images into two parts, like the Lytro type thing that Doc was talking about earlier. But he might be saying we are deliberately focusing it out with a pattern upon it, in which case what he's saying about Bokeh is correct. But if he's just saying we're making it blurred, that's not Bokeh. So Bokeh, if I was shooting out on a night time and I was shooting towards some lights, I would test the lens by deliberately focusing out, and I would look at the shapes that it generated. And if it generated perfect circles, then I would know that there was good Bokeh on that lens. But that's not depth of field. It's a completely different thing. There we go. Those are two emails that we got this week.
Can I make a comment on that just based on some of the sample images that have been showing up from people since 10.1 came out, the beta of 10.1, and I think it went public beta today. I think you may be absolutely correct, Ewan, because I'm noticing it's not just depth of field in those sample images. There is definitely different kinds of patterns depending upon the shot. Now, I don't know about perfect circles, but I can tell, like, in the background, sort of how each image, depending upon what's in the background, the shapes are being altered. It doesn't just look to me like depth of field. It looks like they're applying some other logic to what's in the background and varying either the level of blur or the how sort of it mutes the shapes in various ways.
So,
let me point something out real simple. That's going to be fast. The main thing is you go into your camera, you go into aperture priority mode, you set a shallow depth of field, you take pictures, you're going to get that. But the Bokeh effect is normally created
is even created in a different manner. And Ewan's right about the fact that what most of us consider a good bouquet, we say bouquet, is the nice tight circles. And when you, if you go online, you just look for images and you type in the word bouquet, you'll see the circles. That's why that's kind of a key aspect. And it's an artistic move. It's not a function of the way the camera works. It's, it has a lot more to do with lenses and lens babies and, you know, 1.8 lenses and stuff that can pull that off. So it's a whole different process. And I put a link in the chat room from the APM Photography School, which shows a good article about the difference between them.
So I shot out on a railway line a couple of years ago, two guys that were walking towards me under lights, and I deliberately blurred it and then brought it into focus. But as they're walking, when they're on deliberately blurred, they looked like Michelin men because they were, their whole bodies were made up of circles. Okay,
right.
And as I deliberately brought it to focus, you could see that it resolved to being two people walking along a railway line. But the circles that were created, that's bokeh. It's not depth of field, it's focus, and it's to do with how the lens focuses. Now, I had a lens from a firm a few months back. One of my lenses got broken, so I went and bought a second-hand lens to replace it, which was fairly cheap. But I went out online and I used the thing in anger on a job, and I deliberately focused it out, and the bokeh that was coming back had a haze around it. And I went back to the people that sold me. I said, that's not a good lens because the bokeh's out. And they took it back, sent it back to Canon. Canon recalibrated it, and it's come back perfect. And I noticed that because of the bokeh, not because of the depth of field, because it was a 2.8 lens. It's a different thing entirely. Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. We solved that.
Ewan, isn't the proper terminology that's what's known as the back focus?
No, in terms of what, though?
What causes the bokeh versus not the bokeh? Because one of the things that they can do to fix a lens that has a, say, over effect is to tighten, adjust, or realign the back focus.
So the big problem that you've got is if you're talking about lenses where you've got sort of, you know, you might have 7 or 9 elements of the lens that are then bringing everything back into focus. If one of those is out of line with each other, then that's what creates a disparity in the uniformity of the image that's sent through, whether it's focused or out of focus.
I'm going to drop some sample article that has tons of sample images in the chat. I don't think that what Apple is calling bokeh, I don't think they're using the right term.
Well, now here's the thing, because I think that what they're doing is actually they're applying a pattern to the background. In which case,
I think you're right. Look at those. Look at the link. Look at all the sample images in there.
But it's there. This Deep Pan has said that this episode is going to be called the Great British Bokeh Off, which, if you're not British, will mean absolutely nothing to you because it's an absolute furore at the moment. McLaren is going to buy. Apple's going to buy McLaren. The other way around. Sorry, man. My mistake.
Nope. Same happening.
Totally nuts. Bollocks.
I've got to say, this is the stupidest story I've seen all week. Because now, the thing is, there's a couple of people that have spoken to me on Twitter about this, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Now, if you look at the Advanced Technology Center, they do a hell load of stuff for performance cars and for race circuits that allow you to track vehicles and that kind of stuff. There are things that McLaren would sell to Apple, but I don't think they sell enough to Apple to warrant Apple buying McLaren. And what the hell would Apple do with a Formula One team if they bought the whole shit and shebang of it all?
Yeah, at best, they had a conversation with people from Apple. Apple's engineers maybe had questions for them about some of their technologies and the things that they do. But beyond that, nothing happened. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally. There's no way on God's green earth Apple are going to buy this place.
Could Apple afford them? Probably.
Why would they want them?
Yeah,
they're £1.3 billion at most.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, you have to ask your question: what even interest would they have in that company? It doesn't fit into anything that Apple would be doing with a car project, almost in any way, shape, or form.
Everything that McLaren do is performance-based cars or racing cars. It's correct. Not to do with
and Apple's
cars.
Building a car taxi service.
You reckon?
Oh my
it's Apple Uber.
God.
Yes.
That would be a fast Uber if you get the Formula One cars.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why it doesn't make any sense.
I need to get to the airport in 5 minutes. No problem.
Apple's building a system for basic transportation, not, you know, high-end performance.
Why would you even stop at the airport, Doc? Why just go all the way to your destination in the Apple McLaren?
Because you got to go to many fueling points, and if you know anything about racing, that's where it always gets bugged. When they go to fueling points, induction. They can get a stupid tank out in time. It's such a
induction charging on the highways. It's just like you pull over to the right lane, you just keep going at about, you know, 80, 100 miles an hour, and you charge from the pavement. And then once you get clear,
go back. Come up with that, I'm squared away because I got an i3. I'm squared. That's awesome. I think my car tops out at 80 miles an hour, but I'd love to charge just by driving down the street.
Yeah. Doc, the only issue is, I mean, serving food in a Formula One car is probably not the best idea. And, I mean, luggage.
Because Formula One cars are well known for their luggage racks.
Yeah, so
did you guys,
that's what you the monkey seats actually
the YouTube
about.
Video of the dad who wouldn't let his kids eat in his Tesla, but then he said, okay, look, we'll do this. I'm going to give you each a glass of water. We're going to put it in ludicrous mode, and if you can ride in the back of the car without spilling that's any water, I'll let you eat in here from this point forward.
And?
That's hilarious. they pretty much ended up wet.
Bruh. That's funny. You know, can you just imagine, like, you're trying to get your, like, in-drive martini, and you go to open it, and you just got, like, olives and vermouth and juice and stuff flying all over the place, like, and your cheeks are pinned back. That would be awesome. You're drinking your martini. Like,
vermouth. My grandmother used to drink vermouth.
Yeah, and he was giving him a countdown, 3, 2, 1, I'm going to go, and they still couldn't.
Back when she's put, is the fin on the back the luggage rack? Who remembers a car that had a luggage rack?
The old station wagon that I used to have to drive to high school and get teased until I was able to buy my own car.
No, if you had a sports car that had a boot on it, like an Austin Healey or something like that, you had a rack that was on there and you put bungees over it, you know, like a spider clip that would strap your luggage to the top of it. Yeah, no, I remember.
Like an old MG.
Yeah, no, for my 40th birthday, my wife bought me a trip out in a Triumph Stag that was made in the year that I was born, 1967. And on the back of that, there was a luggage rack that you could bungee. Well, actually, they bungeed our picnic onto it. It's a place in the Cotswolds, and you get the old car for the day. And she got this car because it had rear seatbelts for Ellis, for a start.
But yeah, also, and it has the wood slats down there, right?
That's right, yes, there you go. That's the stuff.
Oh, my God. I used to be so in love with the old Triumph Spitfires. You guys remember those?
You don't want to go in a Triumph Spitfire, mate.
No, I just thought they were cool. Like, and one of my friends had one, but why?
So you've obviously never been in one then.
I've ridden in it, but it wasn't the Spitfire version. It was an Alfa Romeo something 7.
Which is not a Spitfire.
I know, but they look similar.
No, they don't. They're nothing like each other. So a Spitfire, came in a packing case, and when you'd made the Spitfire up out of the kit, you had to cut the packing case up, and it made the floorboards underneath. And if you ever went in a Spitfire, you could see through the pedals into the road.
Oh my God! Somebody gave it to me as a plastic model, and then I fell in love with it. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, but not if you're telling me. Was a production one? That's what.
Yeah, but it still you had to use the floorboards where you could see the road through the floor, even on the production ones.
You could do that with
a bag of shit, and the front impact protection was crap.
I'm now thinking of a Flintstones car, and that's as good a time as any for me to drop off. So good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on, Ewan.
See you, mate. Take care. Thank you for coming.
Bye, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
Shame you didn't say anything.
It was.
He's obviously not a regular.
What was a TR7, Ewan? That's what my friend had.
Triumph 7, yeah. And the TR6 is the best one. The TR6 was beautiful. That was a proper car.
Okay. So
even though it was a rust bucket, it never worked properly. But
this is the one.
But having said that, that's most of the cars that were built in the 70s in the UK.
Triumph Spitfire, you got the wrong car. They were
in the 70s.
I'm well aware of what a
Triumph
Spitfire is, your mate, and I'm telling you, the floorboards were transparent almost. In the year that you were born, says Batwings, they were still using horse and cart. Thank you, mate.
Oh God. So we had a similar debacle in the U.S. It was called the Fiero, but it was a pretty nice car, but they kind of had problems. The look of it was dope, but the engine was kind of problems. So what people ended up doing with them was getting rid of the bodies and putting these fake Lamborghini kits on them. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of basically
Fiero. I loved the Fiero. What a piece of junk, though.
Oh, right? Right? With this V6, and then they had like fake Corvettes and fake Batmobiles. But it became the basis of like every kit car you could buy in a GQ magazine in the 80s.
UPS has shown some shipments of the iPhone 7 bouncing back and forth between the US and Asia. Come on, fanboys. I've got to say, of all the launches that Apple have ever done, they've screwed some up really, really well. Yeah. But they've screwed this one up good and proper.
I didn't even get mine from Apple this year. I was in two minds whether to get one or not. And then on I missed it on Thursday. And then I caved in Friday, and it was only because of a glitch on the John Lewis site. So, Ewan, you'll know John Lewis, but in the UK we've got his department store.
It's a good store as well. It's a high-quality
store. It is a good store, yeah. They do two-year warranties with everything as well. So, but I was reading Mac Rumors.
I was going to say the EU requires a two-year warranty on everything.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, yeah. So, but There was a glitch on the website. Basically, they had stock, but they couldn't sell it until 8 a.m. on the Saturday. But someone spotted on Mac Rumors, in the forums, that if you bought the phone with a case, they did this package which came with a spec case, like a fiver off it or something, then you could order them now. So I went on and I picked up a jet black iPhone 7 that night, and I picked it up on Saturday. But Apple just had no chance of getting one. But it was the first time I'd ever not gone through them to get one. But,
way to go.
And you've got
it. Crazy.
I've got it. Yeah.
The system.
So there's a company called Yours or Very.co.uk, which does oversized clothing. They swore blind they were going to have sevens, and I confess, my geek who's in our chat room. David said that he could get them through there, and we should all sign up for it. So he signed up with them, and they said, absolutely no problem, you're getting it on the 16th, not an issue. So he cancelled his order with Apple.
Oh, no.
And they sent him an email going, do you know what? Funny enough, we've got none. He got absolutely shafted.
Come on.
He got absolutely shafted. So bad luck, David.
Oh, that's dirty.
I was dubious, I have to say, because it all looked a bit spit and mirrors. I'm still 4th to 10th of October. I've had nothing come forward. There's no improvement on the date of delivery for me. And there was a story this week on Apple Insider, and I'm willing to take this with a pinch of salt. You know, I'm the first one to have a go at Apple. But they said that the demand for iPhone 7 was no greater than for the 6S. Sorry.
That's not true.
It's no greater than
for the
6S.
I don't think that's true either.
No, I've heard
that was debunked by somebody just this morning. But one of the things that caused a major kerfuffle, which I think was the bane of their existence, last year we launched in, 21 countries out on the first day? And this year it launched in 30-plus countries on the first day. And then so that was probably the beginning of the end, is doing too many countries on the very first day. And they were able to fraction it out as to why that mathematically doesn't make sense, that it's less demand now than as the 6 was. And
I don't think it's less, but I don't think it's hugely more than the screw-up that they've made.
The American carriers said it. The American carriers, who know better than anybody because they register phones, they said it is way
because they talk bollocks larger on a regular basis.
True that. But there was an inventory sell-off at the end of October last year on the 6 and 6 pluses. And that's not going to happen this year. So there was two major outputs that said that mathematically didn't make sense, and whoever initially reported that was out of their mind.
All I think that has happened here is that I think Apple severely underestimated demand. I think they thought demand was going to be more at the levels of the iPhone 6S, and I think that is probably what people are seeing, is that it's selling more, there's higher demand, but they don't have the ability to fulfill more.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
That's only on the Plus model, though, right? I mean, even today, I've looked just out of curiosity. I went onto the Apple App Store, And I can pick up sevens quite easily.
Correct.
In local stores. There's all the pluses you can't get. So that's the thing they've fucked up on my eyes.
There's higher demand than there has been in the past for the plus size model.
Well, hang on, fellas, because this will kind of maybe lock the scale of this in. I have contacts in three of the UK or service providers for mobile phones, and all three of those told me they got zero 7 pluses. None.
Correct. None. Yeah, I heard the same thing from AT&T when I talked to them here.
I think that's far more telling in the fact that, you know, if you're saying that ISPs are getting zero, that means you were woefully short in your production. Yeah. And like I said last week, you know, Colin in Apple is pulling his hair out because he told them how much they were going to need and they've ignored him.
Definitely. I've heard two things. One is, I mean, it's supply chain. One is that Apple basically is scrambling and telling the supply chain to produce as many as they can. And the other thing is that according to some analytics firm that analyzes emails, the demand is higher this year for this SM Plus 60 to 40, I think, compared to 40 to 60 last year, something like that.
Yep.
Is that Slice?
That all being said.
I think it was Slice Analytics, yeah.
Yeah.
Slice Intelligence.
That all being said, it's still Apple screwed up.
I think the embarrassing thing for me was reading the press on the launch day where there are people that have you know, queued up for hours or for days in some instances, and they're coming out and saying, "Oh, sorry, here's a gift voucher."
There's none in store.
It's disgraceful. To say
Apple screwed up is a matter of your perspective on it, though, because from Apple's perspective, and this isn't a joke.
That's not me laughing.
I know, it's Mueller. He's an idiot.
he's laughing at the fact you said he's an idiot, so there you go, that's proof.
it's crazy, because if they sell a lot, then they screwed up. If they don't sell a lot, then they screwed up. Pick a side. You can't do both.
Yeah, but they definitely underestimated it.
No. Here's the thing, Apple would rather... Yes, it's bad from a consumer's perspective. From the people who are trying to get it, it's a fuck-up, it's a failure, whatever. From Apple's perspective... They would much rather come up short and scramble to get more inventory out as quickly as possible than have too much. Because having too much is a much worse situation from a financial perspective than not having enough. Because they can ramp things up. They can adjust based on demand. Going the other way is much more costly.
I think that people have got to understand that when you sit down and you say to someone, you're going to deliver this and it's going to be then, right? And they go, yeah, okay, fine. We're going to announce and we're going to book the Flint Center and we're going to turn up and there's going to be a presentation ready and there's going to be 3,000 Apple employees in the room. And once you get to a point where someone goes, we've got a bit of an issue with the batteries potentially where they might explode. So can we give you some other batteries, which means we won't be able to provide you with enough units. I don't know if that's true. That's just me making that up entirely because Samsung provides some of the batteries. But at that point, you are running headlong into a brick wall and there is nothing you can do. You've got to go ahead and you've got to say, you know what? Here's all the units that we can give you. But what is the problem is the fact that the American market is obsessed with shareholders and shareholders you guys sit there and go, the shareholders are important. We have to keep the shareholders happy because if we don't keep the shareholders happy, the share price goes down and then they get upset and then we lose our jobs. Blah. Well, no, I'm sorry. The shareholders are hangers-on. They are people that are riding the coattails of your organization. And when it comes time to say, do you know what?
Who said shareholders?
It's all about shareholders because the reason that Apple is not... Let me finish. The reason that Apple haven't come out and gone, do you know what? We had a supply chain issue. We haven't got as many units as we used to have, but we're going to supply them as soon as we possibly can, is because of the share price. Nothing else. It's all about the share price. And the problem is there is no integrity in business anymore because of share price and because of trying to keep shareholders happy. I'm sorry, but they are hangers-on. They are the lowest of the low. They are not important to you at all. Your customers are important to you. That's the point. That is the point. Apple, I want some honesty from you. That's all.
Answer the phone. I agree 100%. Sorry, man. And I think it's kind of irritating because I once worked for a company that customer service was bottom line. In the time since I've left, we've gone from just barely hanging on to the largest company in the world. I was in the middle right about the time I left. And even in the store, as an employee, things started changing from the way we did stuff. And I know for a fact, deep in my heart,
it is because everyone was worried about the public perception as far as Wall Street goes. And we always talk about how dumb the analysts are and the stuff that they come up with and the stuff that they cry about. And Apple is definitely making moves in order to come out on the good side of the analyst. And one of the first signs of that is when you pick a 75-year-old guy to be your lead freaking Metafilter who works for a newspaper at one point that was called the Wall Street Journal. Like, that was the beginning of the end. When they started bowing to Mossbergs and the Gene Munsters and the, you know, pick one. You listen to Mac OS, can you hear them all? It is 100% true what Ewan is saying, and it's the thing that I hate the most about us as far as the country goes. The other thing that I noticed, the big difference between, say, Adam and I and, say, you and Mueller, we live in a country where someone can say that this Voss Smart Water is the best water and it's, you know, the best water ever sold and blah, blah, blah. And that's okay in advertising. But in Canada and the UK, you can't put false superlatives in your advertisements. So we have a different amount of, all right, we know they're kind of BSing, but we'll let it slide. And you guys are, no, everything must be to the letter because you said it's like this. And so a symptom like the very thing that happened to your friend is not, we would let that slide. You guys would not let very slide. What the hell are you talking about? I give you a compliment, Mueller, and you still laughing, you prick?
Do I need to bleep, prick?
How much? Prick, how much has he had to drink today, Ewan?
He's been quite reserved, actually.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have a different level of acceptance-ness versus us. And I wish we were more like.
We don't lie on our adverts because we get caught out, whereas you lie on your adverts and don't get caught out.
Yeah,
and that's it. Thank you. Right, I'm glad we cleared that up.
I completely hate
that. That is pretty funny.
No, I just think that the world needs Apple to come out and be honest. You know, I'm sorry, we didn't have enough units. We're doing our very best. That would be great.
They don't say anything about anything, though.
Exactly.
I mean, either way, they're not going to comment either way.
No, of course.
They've always been like that.
You know what? I think we should all start trying that with our ladies and see how far we get.
What, talking bollocks? Mate, that's how you got them to marry you in the first place.
No, we're going to be like Apple and say nothing. That's when they just don't answer it. Just let,
oh, let me know. Let me know how that goes, dude.
Right. No, that was his point. That was his point, I think.
Oh, geez. We've had some reviews. Thank you to those people who bothered to leave us reviews. They mean the world to us. Absolutely. They really affect our position in iTunes. First one is from Hobbs, and he says, my life over the last couple of weeks has been empty, wondering why I wasn't getting my weekly dose of the Mac Show, to only realize that just before the iPhone event that my podcast app of choice had unsubscribed me. Bad luck, mate. The joy that ran over me, not only had I got the Mac Show back, but I got in time for listening to Comedy Gold, that is Ewan and co talking over Tim and the gang. The show is well worth a listen. It's like a cross between 12 Angry Men and Anchorman. I don't always agree with the panel, but then again, it's always good to listen to an argument from a different point of view. Thanks, Hobbs, for that. Really appreciate it. And you've helped me with something else recently, and I just want to say thank you for that as well, mate. And Goodison Paul says, I'm guessing his game's Paul Goodison. It's not a very good hide if he's not. He's put, my favourite Apple podcast. I love this show and never miss an episode. It's a great way to keep up with Apple news with a mix of fanboy and cynicism filled with tons of laughs. It's hosted excellently and guests are always entertaining. It's not only this podcast is great, but the network of Apple shows from everyone involved keeps my podcast playlist constantly ticking over. Great, and keep up the good work. Thank you very much to you, Goodison Paul. If you've got a review for us, please send it and stick it in iTunes, and we'll read every single one out, whether it's good or it's bad, doesn't matter. They all get read out, and we do appreciate it. Thank you also to UK2 who support us. If you've got anything you want to do with the web, domain names, co-location services, co-hosting, anything you like, go and see them. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 if you want to sign into your existing account, and we'll get kudos for that. Or BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors, and you'll get all of the offer codes that are there available to you, and you can clear your basket necessarily if you really want to.
Hey, Ewan.
Yeah.
I found one on iTunes that I thought, I don't know if you saw it because we get so many, but here's a good one. Somebody named Eat a Peach, and the review is titled Totally Binge-Worthy. And the person said that, I wanted to say that I discovered the BTN, especially Mac Show, and love the cast. Only wish I had discovered it earlier. I've become an insatiable fan, and I'm fast at work downloading and adding all the past Mac shows, big shows, guitar shows, and Pinch podcasts to my iTunes for a binge-alicious weekend. If there's still a need to donate to the Skype Mac Mini Fund, where and how can I do that? Also, where can I find the live chat? So pardon me for being an asinine American, but what's the history between Brits and Curry? So I thought that was funny. So I wanted you to answer the two questions. Tell them how they can do the donate, whatever.
Okay. And then so if you want to donate, tell us about we still need about three quarters of one Mac Mini. So it's about 250 quid. So that's bageltechnews@gmail.com is the PayPal account. If you would like to donate anything, it's very welcome received. And when we get that last one, what we're going to do is get some plates made for all of them. So here at BTNHQ, you will get your name and an inscription and the message that you want to write with your signature on it, placed on top of that very thing. And it'll be etched on. It'll be beautiful and it'll be lovely and clean and gorgeous. What is it with Brits and curry? Well, basically, we invaded India.
Thank you, by the way, because I love IPA.
Yeah, which so which really is kind of ironic because the Americans love IPA, but actually we put more hops in it to make it taste better when it got there because it tasted like shit otherwise.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, but it's
so thank you.
But it tastes like shit now because you don't. The thing is, the difference is you're making an IPA with extra hops in it, but you're not sending it on a 4,000-mile journey across the sea to dull the hops down, and now you're just drinking shit beer.
I just noticed something. I did not know when I read that Eda Peach was in the chat room, but the person's in the chat room.
Who's that?
The review I just read, I didn't know it at the time because I wasn't paying attention to the chat room. But I just looked at it, and that person's in the chat room. That was totally not planned. I'm sorry.
Who's this? Pitchforks?
Eda Peach, the person whose review I read.
Oh, hello, Eda Peach. Thank you very much. I can't read what you've written there because that's not okay. It is okay. It's fine to say that. But
okay. I say it all the time.
But I'm not reading that out because... I'm not really.
You can find the chats on
thank you also to Hoya. Muller is wearing these. These are called top loaders. They are lenses that are not ground. So you're thinking, okay, well, I get my lenses and they're ground. No, these are milled. It's a completely different process. Completely de-stresses the lenses. And when you actually put them in the frames, these top loaders actually only have one point of contact with the frame. There you go. So it completely, there is no stress in these lenses at all. The vision is perfect. Muller is wearing these as we speak, but whatever your vision of Muller is, that's different entirely. But they are superb glasses. They are very, very good, and they work just wonderfully. If you'd like a pair of top loaders, it's not hard to do. You can go to your local optician, see if they've got Hoya, find whoever you've got. If you don't know who it is, then that's fine. Go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and write to them and say, I mean, so-and-so, please can you tell me who is and who's my local dealer? They will tell you. And when you get there, one of the Hoya reps will be there. They will help you choose the right style for your face. They'll also use their virtual reality system, which will allow you to apply your prescription that you get measured for by the optometrist into a virtual reality system, and you can look around a virtual room and see where the areas of focus are. I've got to say, I've had a go at this, and it is awesome. It is utterly brilliant. They just dial in your prescription and then you put a set of glasses on and it's like you're using your prescription that they've just measured you for. It's unbelievable. Check them out, hoya.co.uk, or go to podcast.hoya.co.uk and they will tell you everything you need to know. Thanks to Mark for supporting BTN because without them we couldn't do this show. It's great. They've given us one of the Mac Minis and they look after. I've got my glasses here, look, you see the ones that I use for the show. They're brilliant. Awesome. Thank you very much, Hoya, for looking after us, because and thanks to UK2 as well. If you get a chance, tweet out to Hoya_UK or to @UK2 on Twitter and say thanks very much for supporting BTN because we appreciate them. It's time for a cool thing, and based on the fact you've got your new watch, you can't pick your new watch, Patrice. That would be
okay,
just...
good thing I have something else.
Good man.
I actually have two things. One is a small thing in iOS 10 that I really like. The new iPhone has this new Taptic engine, and when you, in iOS, for example, reorder a list, it will basically tap you a little bit, and I like that. It's basically real feedback while reordering things or just doing other things in a system. That's one thing. It's really just a nice little piece Apple put in iOS 10 and the iPhone 7. My real pick is the smart lock I have on my door. I'm not really sure whether it's available or whether it will work in other countries. They definitely ship to other countries. It's the Nuki, nuki.io, N-U-K-I. And I mean, it's basically just a really well-designed key turner. So you put the key in the lock, put this thing on top of it, and then it basically just turns the key. And it works over Bluetooth. There is a bridge that you can, basically plug in, and then you can also access it via the internet. And if you are a little bit of a nerd, you can even connect it using Homebridge. You can connect it to HomeKit, and that's what I did. And it really works well. I mean, I can basically walk outside. I've actually forgotten my key once or twice, and I walked outside, went out for a walk, came back, and the door basically magically opened when I was standing in front of it. It's not as fast as I would like it to, so it's still there's still some room for optimization.
It's in beta.
It was a Kickstarter project. So
it's already done by then. It's just shafting, you know.
Probably, yeah.
Did you donate?
I didn't.
Muller says he keeps his key under a stone in the garden. So there you go. Anyone who wants anything, why would you want anything in my stash? No.
True.
Okay, good pick.
Porn stash.
Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I am going to pick something. Hopefully no one picked this last week. So, a new thing in iOS 10 in messages is stickers. There is a great free set of stickers called Sticker Pals. And so my pick is Sticker Pals, which you'll find in the iOS message store. And it's got a bunch of them. Some of my favorites are a set that... So there's a bunch of different sets in here, I guess is what I want to say. And one of my favorite ones is because with stickers you can place them over images or other parts of messages, they have a whole set that you can like throw over people's photos, like different kinds of haircuts and hats and glasses and things like that. So my pick is the sticker pack, but I'll give you a little tip too that some people don't know, that you can actually scale your stickers as you're placing them. So if you take them and you peel them off and you're going to put them in your messages, if you put a second finger down and do the whole pinch gesture, you can actually resize stickers before you drop them on iMessages. So any little tip there.
We need a set of BTN stickers.
Yeah.
I can do it.
How do we do it? Do I need to make some...
No. So you need to make a bunch
PNGs and drop them into...
PNGs.
Yeah,
and then Xcode.
If you open up Xcode, it's easy process. I'll send you a link, but I did it already.
Because the thing is, there's no point in just doing the show logos. I want to do stuff like I can edit and that kind of thing. So
more bullshit,
more bullshit. Thank you, mate. Yeah. We need to do those and then I'll send them over. All I'm going to do is make a PNG. Any particular size?
It will rescale them accordingly.
Sorry, what was the answer to that?
Check the developer docs. I'll find you a link.
Yes.
Thanks, mate. I will make them.
And if you create a real messages app, you can do even more, but that requires some coding.
I will build it and they will come.
Right. At the very least, we need a Wall of Shame sticker pack.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. I need to make a Wall of Shame image that is square on all the way along the whole wall. Definitely.
So anyway, Sticker Pals, check it out. And you can earn, the other thing, Sticker Pals, you can kind of, it has a little game element. It is like a iMessage app. So every week, I think they give you like a free gift that you can open up, and then you can earn coins and buy more stickers and stuff like that if you want. But just the base pack that you get for free is, it's got hundreds of stickers in it. So
brilliant. Good stuff. Thank you, mate. Good one. Lee, what have you got for us, mate? Apart from the Rangers t-shirt.
I'm just pasting mine in now. So mine is a Veradesk. So I've had back problems for quite a while, but particularly over the last year, it's been getting a lot worse. So I've been been advised to get a standing desk. So what I did was I looked at a way of adapting the desk that I've got. So I've just got an IKEA corner desk. And I came across Varidesk, which seemed to get good reviews everywhere. And I've actually heard them, I think, on other podcasts, you know, previously. So I knew, you know, the reputation of the company seemed quite good. So I ended up getting the one that I've posted, which is the Cube Corner. So this can take, I've got a 27-inch iMac on mine, but it basically sits on top of your normal desk. And via a couple of levers, you can adjust the height to, there's about four or five different settings. And certainly for me, I've been using it for about, so 3 or 4 months, and it's really, really helped me out. Just, you know, taking breaks from sitting down, or I stand most of the day, you know, if I'm working from home. But I mean, just generally, you don't need to have obviously back problems and stuff, you know, if you want to get one of these. But I just think it's a really great way of adapting a normal desk rather than having to go out and buy a one from scratch, you know, just like a proper standing desk.
Did you look at variable height desks, you know, like electronic desks?
Well, I mean, I did have a look around, but we've had this desk. It's actually not that old, the one we've got, and I quite like having the corner one. So this, to be honest, has worked out really well for me, because it's the two levers that it's all sprung, there's springs, so there's no weight in it. It takes all the weight for you. Though I've got like a big iMac and hard drives and stuff on it, it's no weight at all lifting up and down. But it's working out really well for me, and I advise, you know, everyone to take a look at standard desks. The
difference between like a $400 outlay of cash or $1,200 or $1,500, though, Ewan, so...
Well, no, yeah, it's well, okay.
I just put a link in the chat for a really good one. I think Jerry has one, and Doc maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I got one.
I'm eyeing this one. Those are, from what I've heard, those are great, and they are not that expensive. I mean, shipping to Europe is expensive.
I did the thing that's called being a man, and I built mine.
Yeah. That's probably better.
I'm not that practical.
So I don't have those kind of penis issues. So I bought one from IKEA that has, and if you just hang on a second, there you go. It's electric. Au revoir, nice. Chaps.
Nice.
And it cost me about 180 quid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
Well, and this one Patrice just linked to says it's $249
plus shipping.
Sorry, boys.
Down from $1,500. These things used to be expensive.
Moving on swiftly.
$249 is our 180 quid, so that's about right.
Doc, what have you got for us, mate? Moving on.
I got a really good tip for you, and I'm so glad this finally happened. I've been, God knows, waiting for this for the longest time. But as of Tuesday, Instagram rolled out a new feature that if you're in the middle of making a post and you like don't have time, or somebody interrupts you, or you realize you like, you know, got something else better to do, you can actually save it as a draft and come back to it later. Because nothing sucks more than you spent the time to get the photo exactly how you want it, and then for whatever reason you can't press upload at the minute. So what I used to do was direct message myself the image so they would save it to the camera roll, and then you can re-upload it and finish it later. But now you can actually save drafts in Instagram, and it took them, I don't know, 5 years. So there's my tip.
Okay.
And my quick pick is an application I've been using for quite a long time. It's called Drafts. And they recently updated their version, and no thanks to Apple, you can't really do a upgrade fee, so you got to pay $5 all over again. But the new version now has watchOS capability, so you can scribble quick notes and save them in drafts. And I won't get into what drafts can do because it's way long. That's a whole 2-hour show in and of itself. But it's hands down one of the best apps ever created for iOS, and I'm so happy that now they have a watchOS 3 version. So it's Agile Tortoise. They make really cool stuff. But check out that drafts link I put in the chat.
Thanks, Mike. Good pick. My cool thing. Now, I've mentioned this before. Do you remember me talking about Quadlock?
Yeah. Love that.
So here's the back that goes on my iPhone. There's my iPhone 6 Plus. And on the back, I have a Quadlock. It's there. One of the things that's really cool about Quadlock is that there's a whole pile of accessories. But... it is pretty limited. I mean, if you want to do like a put it on your shoulder and go running, or if you want to put it in your bike and that kind of stuff. But thankfully, the 3D printer world has taken it to themselves and decided that they will improve upon it dramatically. If you go to thingiverse.com, I'll put a link in the chat room, you can make this on your 3D printer. And that is a quad lock stand. It took an hour to produce. you put it in and you turn it, and there you go. You've got a quad lock stand that you can carry around with you for your phone so that it stands up when you're on the train or whatever. And all you've got to do is twist it and it comes off. And you can do it in landscape or you can do it in portrait. It doesn't stand up brilliantly in portrait, but it stands up far better in landscape. But that's it. And it's flat, so it goes in your pocket. It's tiny. It's brilliant. So I've put the link in the chat room, thingiverse.com/thing:1257384. And that's what that is. And it's flat, like I say, so you can stick it in your pocket, pull it out, shove it in your phone on the train, and take it off again when you get to your destination. And it clips in place using the quad. And it's a complete breach of the copyright of QuadLock, I'm sure. I have no doubt in my mind that it's wrong. But sorry, QuadLock, you should have produced it, because if you produced it, I'd have bought it. What's that?
The one connection looks like a willy.
It does, it does. It looks like there you go, the connection that looks like a flaccid penis. Yes. Superb.
I'm going to print one of these. That's cool.
I don't need to worry about that because Adam said fuff earlier on. I need to edit that.
Ewan, can I add a last minute tip?
That was before the show. We weren't recording, were we?
No, you used the fuff at 57 minutes, mate.
Yeah.
I made a note. Go on, Adam. Go on, Lee, sorry.
I just seen some breaking news. If you've got a Yahoo account, you might want to change your password. I assume you've all seen that. They've lost 500 million accounts.
If you thought that your photos were getting screwed with by Apple, they're going to be even more screwed with by Yahoo. 20 million accounts or something stupid?
500 million.
Half a billion. Oh, my life. I'm sure we'll be talking about that on the big show.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just thought I'd mention it quickly since it's just happened.
I think that's a very wise caution, mate. Thank you. No question. Patrice, where can we get a hold of your Watch 2 boy?
You can always find me on the Mac Show every Thursday. You can find all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com. And I have a new podcast just released yesterday, the Casual Kitchen Cast. So it's in English, so it might be something for you. Go to casualkitchen.net and you will find the link.
Is it my summer casserole?
No, it's really, I mean, me talking. It's a podcast, so it's me talking about buying seasonal, buying local, and I have a recipe in there. So,
Deep Pan in the chat room says, when did Yahoo get 500 million members?
Well, moving on. I'm assuming serious. That means Flickr also. Yeah, and
as well.
Yeah.
And I just
every
got
other property that quick. They own.
And they now send a thing where when you log in on a computer, you have to have your phone in your hand and open the Flickr app in order to finish the signing in. They give you that option or continue to change
the
password.
They were the ones that did the abhorrent system that if you got your password wrong twice, you had to wait 24 hours before you get it right again. It was they're crap at security. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I think he was being facetious anyway, Adam. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Me?
Yeah.
You can find me at maccast.com, maccast on Twitter, and pretty much maccast every place else.
And on the BBC, regularly.
And on the BBC, yeah. Occasionally. Yeah, once.
Famous bloke. Referenced by the Gadget Show, referenced by the BBC. You're a proper podcaster. Not like us pretenders.
Yeah. People want that link. Let me know. I can send you the link.
Because he's got it tattooed on his butt.
I do.
Lee, where are you,
mate? I think I did a post on maccast.com.
Oh, sure. Really? Funny enough.
I will.
Yeah, no. Okay. Lee, where are you, mate?
LGPUK.com is the best place to get hold of me. You can link off my social stuff from there.
Oh, hi, Doc. And hey, Fever Boy, where are you?
Going to the drugstore right now. I'm in
What are you? Are you allergic to engraving or something?
No, it's just hay fever season.
It's hay fever season?
Yeah.
We just finished ours, so that's really hard.
Yeah.
It's only fungus at the moment that's going on, no grass.
Like the one sitting across from you?
Oh! Talk me through your game with Reading, mate, or Northampton, rather.
Huh?
That went well, didn't it?
I didn't finish watching it. I only got past the first half.
Which, in case you were losing at that point, but anyway, where can we get a hold of you?
Oh, DLCRCK at Twitter, on Twitter, Instagram, everything, internet, whatever.
It's never been too hard to finish a show in all my life. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week for more goings on in the Apple universe. Until then, thanks for listening.
Oh, and say happy birthday to Steve Sandy today.
Is it Steve's birthday? Happy birthday, yeah. Steve.
Yeah, he's 75 today.
No. <It's> not